Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. He took over the Albany force earlier this year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since October 2012. He rose through the ranks of that department, starting as a cadet in 1990. In all, Chief Hawkins has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience and is here to answer your questions. You want to talk to a real live police chief? Now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number on this call-in program is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and your calls coming up right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force earlier this year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since October 2012. He rose through the ranks of that department, starting as cadet in 1990. In all, Chief Hawkins has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience. He is affiliated with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the FBI National Academy Associates, the FBI Law Enforcement Executive Development Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. Chief Hawkins has also earned degrees from Western Michigan University Cooley Law School and Oakland Community College. If you have a question about law enforcement, great time to call is right now, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Chief Eric Hawkins, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, you've been here 6 months or so?
No, it's been about a month and a half so far.
That's all?
That's it.
It's been a pretty hectic month and a half.
Yes.
You started in Michigan.
Yes.
How much culture shock have you had trying to acclimate to Albany?
You know, actually, it hasn't been too bad. It's a lot of similarities between Albany and the city I came from, just outside of Detroit. And it's been a pleasant experience so far.
You said today, before we started the show, that you had promoted some officers today?
Yeah, it's been an exciting day for the Albany Police Department. We promoted 6 officers to the rank of sergeant and 1 sergeant to the rank of lieutenant. And so it's been very exciting around City Hall today.
In your 25 years since you came up as a police officer, is it tougher now to be a cop?
I think so. There's a lot more expectations for police officers now than there were 25, 30 years ago. There's a lot more things, I think, going on in society that young officers have to deal with. Things are a lot more complicated. It's much tougher, I think, to be a police officer now than it was when I started 25 or 30 years ago.
Does it ultimately, you think, make up for a stronger officer having to maybe think about some of the other issues now at play?
I think so, and I think that these young officers are equipped to deal with the challenges of this new generation. It's we've got some very, very sharp and enterprising and very aware officers that are coming into law enforcement right now. So I'm excited to see these young men and women grow in this environment.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest today. The number is 800-348-2551. It has it's been a violent year in Albany. Now, there have been 13 recorded killings so far, and that's the average is about 8 or a little under 8 homicides a year. How are you dealing with this and some of the criticism that has come with that?
Well, 2 things. First, I have to help my officers resist the urge to get frustrated during this period of time. These officers are working very hard, both the sworn and the non-sworn in the Albany Police Department. And they're doing all they can to engage with the community and to address some of the challenges that we've seen, particularly this summer. And so it's addressing the frustration with the officers. And so far, they've done a very, very good job of resisting the urge to get frustrated. Because once you get frustrated, you start to overreach and you start to do some things that may exacerbate some things. So so we got that piece. And the other piece is just letting the community know that the police department continues with the position. And that we are going to work with the community in order to resolve some of these issues. You know, we can't do this all alone. There are a number of underlying issues that have contributed to some of the violence that we saw during the summer. And it's important that the community know that the police department is not going to go out there and try to resolve this all on its own in an isolated fashion. And so we've got those two messages that are going out.
To what do you attribute the rise in homicides?
From talking with investigators, a lot of the violence that we've seen this summer has been between individuals who know each other.
Which is common, right?
And it's very common. It's a common across the country when you look at violent crimes anywhere. In a lot of cases, it's between individuals who know each other. And so we have to what we've been doing is messaging our community that these are not just random acts of violence that we're seeing. You know, these are individuals who've had some history. There's some kind of nexus involving drugs and other illicit activities that contribute to it, and so we're touching it in from those angles, and again sending the message that we're working with the community, with some of the other social agencies and other stakeholders in the community to identify what the root causes are and address those root causes.
We are joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. One of the buzzwords you always hear from the educated and uneducated in police work, whenever there's a violent spike, you're going to hear the word gangs. How prevalent is the gang situation in Albany?
Well, I've been here, again, a little less than 2 months, and I've been talking with the investigators about some of these things, and I'm not hearing that there's a huge gang problem. What I'm hearing is that there are conflict resolution issues. There are issues that are surrounding, in a lot of cases, narcotics and other illicit activities. But I'm not hearing so much that these are organized gangs that are causing these problems. So I think that if we can touch some of these other issues, the narcotics nexus, the lack of mentors in our community with some of these young men and women who are getting involved in some of these things and some of the other social causes, I think we can really make an impact on some of the issues.
How about reaching out socially? I see press releases often in the summer, not so much right now when it's pretty cold out, about pop-up barbecues and things like that. Do these actually work?
You know, yes. And it's interesting. I was asked this question not too long ago, and there's this perception that these are all touchy-feely type things.
Yeah.
And there's really no, you're not getting any return on your investment, so to speak. And what's interesting is that a week or so ago, I was monitoring what's been happening in Chicago. And as a lot of the listeners may know that there's been a spate of violence in Chicago as well. And things have gotten so bad that they've called Chief Bratton, the former chief of New York City, out as a consultant. And what I found interesting is when the chief was talking with the commissioner in Chicago about ways of addressing the violence, he didn't talk so much about equipment or tactics or innovative strategies on the part of the police department. What Chief Bratton said was that the way of out of the problem was to have more community engagement, reach out more to the members of the community, and have those sorts of engagement type things. And so when people ask me about pop-up barbecues and some of the other things that we're doing in the community, absolutely, it's a part of the solution, because we're engaging more with individuals and residents and visitors who may not have otherwise engaged with police officers.
However, you would have to agree that this would be a long-term strategy, and you can't expect immediate a bonanza of returns, right?
And that's some of the messaging also to the community in Albany, is that these things won't turn around overnight. You know, some of the causes, the root causes of some of the things that we've seen during the summer, they've been around for years. And it's going to take some time to kind of unravel some of those things. But absolutely, we have short-term and long-term strategies to deal with it. But absolutely, you know, in my opinion, from my experience, You must have a long-term strategy in dealing with some of these things, or else you just see a vicious cycle with some of the activities.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins with us today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Well, you're pretty new to the region, but this show's been going on a long time, many years now, and what we do is we take calls. Are you prepared to take a call or two?
Certainly.
All right, let's take one before the break, at least one, and then we'll take a break and then get back to it. 800-348-2551. Brian in Massachusetts, you've been waiting a while. You're first.
Hi, Chief. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing good. Yeah, Chief, I'm on the job at the state right next to you in Massachusetts. And one of my challenges, I'm sure that you experienced the same thing out at Michigan, was you spoke of engagement. How do you keep the officers engaged to do their jobs? To still go out there and do the enforcement actions, to still go out there and deal with the public in a respectful manner when, you know, over the last year or so, we haven't been necessarily cast in the same.
We lost you there for a second, Brian, but I think we get your drift.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it's really at the heart of my leadership style, because I understand that these officers are under a tremendous amount of stress, and there's a lot of criticisms that officers are facing right now, and it's a difficult time for police officers. But what's important for me as the leader of an organization is to make sure that those officers know that they're respected, that they're valued by the leaders in the organization, that they're given all of the support that they need, that they're given the equipment and the supplies and the trainings that they need. But the most important thing is making sure that I, as chief, and the upper and the upper ranks in the police department, the executive staff, treat our officers like we want our officers to treat the members of in the residents and the visitors in our community. And there's just tons of studies out right now, and there's concepts with fancy names like procedural justice and things like that. Whereas if we can treat our people right, then we can raise morale, and we can help in our people in turn would treat those that they're serving in a respectful way as well.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We are just getting started. More calls coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551. Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And we'll get back to the phones in a minute, Chief, but this one came in via email from Alex in Latham. And Alex writes, I used to live in Michigan for a couple of years before returning to the Capital Region. My question is, when it comes to policing, what differences have you noticed between Southfield and here? And what, from your past experiences in Southfield, are going to help you with the police culture in the Albany area? Well, we touched on this, but you can expound.
Yeah, what I found to be interesting is that police work is the same no matter where you are in the country. And my first couple of weeks that I was here in Albany, I learned that it was nothing too much had changed in terms of dealing with people, in terms of the challenges that we see in law enforcement, the challenges that we see in communities. So things are pretty much the same in that respect. And I think what I can bring from Michigan to Albany is just a different set of eyes. You know, when you bring somebody in who's experienced things in a different kind of way and you're in a different part of the country, you kind of see things a little bit different. And I found that true even back in Michigan, because when I was a newer police officer, we brought in an outside police chief, a chief that had come from, he was within the state of Michigan.
Does that cause resentment?
You know, I think it can. It can if the approach is not right. And one of the things I learned from that chief that came in from the outside in my other department was that it's very important for a new chief or a new executive, anybody going into an organization in a leadership position, to listen and to listen very, very closely. Listen intently to what's happening in the organization. People want to feel that someone coming from the outside truly has the desire to hear some of the challenges and to take some of those things and help them to get through some of these things. And so when I came in, I'm still in the phase where I listen a lot to people both within the organization and those outside of the organization.
The good news is you can still use your snow tires here. I'm sure you will.
Yes.
Very, very, very soon. Yes. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest today. Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're next.
A few weeks back, Curtis Lewa from the Guardian Angels came up to try to assist the Albany police for this problem that you're having with the violence. And, you know, I'm not a member of the organization or anything. I just wanted to know what your take is on that visit and any future you might have with that organization.
Yeah, thank you for that question. And I think that from the outside looking in, because I was monitoring what was happening from Michigan when Mr. Slewa was here in Albany, and my first impressions were that he meant well. It looked on the surface that he had a genuine desire to help the members of the Albany community deal with some of the violence that was occurring in the community. But what I saw was maybe a flaw in his strategy was that it didn't appear, at least from the outside looking in, that he worked closely first with the stakeholders in the community in crafting a sort of a response to some of this violence. And that caused some resentment because it seemed as if it appeared that he was simply imposing a style, a law enforcement reaction onto a community. And what I've seen in my almost three decades in police work is that sometimes it's a fundamentally flawed approach to impose a law enforcement strategy on the community. And it seems like that's what he was doing, and it created some resentment. People did not want to listen.
So in other words, you're saying it created resentment in the community and not the police force?
I don't think so much in the police force. I think that the police officers, you know, they understood, I think, that, you know, this person, you know, had a genuine interest in helping the community get through some of the violence. But I think that the people who are being served right now in law enforcement, you know, one of the things that we've learned in law enforcement over the last, especially the last 10 or 15 years, is that it's a fundamentally flawed strategy to impose a law enforcement strategy on a community. Have to work with the community, work with the other stakeholders, the elected officials, the local police department, the members, the residents and the visitors in that community in order to craft a style that's unique for that particular community.
It confuses me a little bit when you say a style. I mean, the law is the law, though, right? I mean, if you break the law, then the law comes to get you, yeah?
But the way that it's being policed is different in every community.
Give me an example, if you could.
For example, in some communities, they want the police department to work with them in order to develop a strategy for addressing some issues. You have other communities who may say, well, we understand what the problems are, and we simply want our police department to come up with some strategies and address the problem. Let us know what it is, and we can help mm-hmm. you the best we can. So you have those nuances in communities. But one common thread, though, that we've been seeing across the country is that hardly any of the communities want simply to have a law enforcement style imposed on them. And I think that it was perceived by the members of the Albany community, at least my perceptions, from the outside looking in, is that they perceived his style as being he was imposing a law enforcement style on them.
Curtis Lewa.
Correct.
Okay.
Instead of coming and working with the community, you know, to say, okay, what are some of the challenges? What are some of your fears? What are some of your concerns? What ideas do you have? You know, connecting with the police department in a formal way. Connecting with our local elected officials to see what challenges and things they were seeing at their levels. And then after talking with these different stakeholders in the community, then develop a way of addressing the problem. So I think from the outside looking in, that may have been a fundamental problem with him at that time when he came into Albany.
Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. How are you holding up, Chief?
I'm holding up well.
All right, you have a sip of your water. We'll take another call here. And we go to Sam in Oneonta. Sam, you're on.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you so much for having such a forward-thinking, truly enlightened individual on the show today, and I give you so much courage for being there and be open for questions, but I really mean what I just said.
So you're talking about the chief and not me, right, just to be clear?
I'm talking about the chief.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
No, you're great. You're
okay.
You're comic. But anyway,
right. Go ahead.
You're good. But you said that, you know, the challenges, Ray, you asked the question, do you think the challenges are more now than maybe they used to be? And your response was, you know, like, you know, compared to 20, 30 years ago, it's just been grown deeper and more challenging. And you also responded again about something looking deeper into a situation, which is very, to me, very enlightened. But here's my question. With all those challenges, you know, that have mounted for police officers and having to make up for a lot of things, you know, that are maybe lacking in our systems, mental health, you know, parenting, teachers, you know, exhausted for doing what they need to be doing with kids and this and that. Do you think that the education and pay, I know I'm putting you out on a limb, have really kept up with the demands of what police officers are expected to do out there in the manner that you really seem to be espousing?
And you know, sir, I think you're right on point. And absolutely, you know, you could ask any leader in any most industries, and they'll probably say that their folks are underpaid and overworked. And I certainly feel that way about police officers. There are so many expectations on police officers. You know, you almost have to, you know, have the equivalent of a law school education in order to do basic police work nowadays. You know, you have to have know constitutional law. You have to know and all these different sorts of things. And we're expecting this from 18 and 19 year olds. You know,
exactly. That's exactly all those expectations. Social worker, teacher, psychologist, anger management person. All those things, you know, when that person rolls down their window, I think a master's degree, $150,000 to start.
Are you in the union?
No.
Okay.
But to think, and I don't want to be critical, but to think that, and I don't want to be critical of veterans, believe me, they deserve so much, but to think that somebody that's done a term in Iraq, is a major qualification, you know, for a police officer. Again, I'm not demeaning anybody. Please don't take me wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, that the training that you just talk about, the needs,
okay.
It just seems we're not getting, we may be able to get more of a, you know, cream of the crop kind of thing to be on
right.
A police, to do the things that everything you talked about.
All right, Sam, we got to wrap it up here with you, but let's go ahead and address that, Chief.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we need, these are professionals. You know, before, you know, 25 or 30 years ago, you know, Sam was right. You know, when I started, you know, you can come in and you could have a high school education. You can get some training in the police academy and some field training out on the streets, and you could do this job. But, you know, things are so complicated now. You know, you have social issues that our officers have to be aware of. You have public relations issues, politics. You know, so there's so much that's expected of these young men and women that I absolutely agree. I think they're overworked and underpaid, but it tells you a lot about the character of the person who gets into this line of work, though.
You know, every job has a level of stress, but it strikes me that given the current situation and given the fact that you're part lawyer, part law enforcement officer, part sociologist, the stress levels must be fairly high. Do you see a lot of burnout, early burnout?
I think so. I think you can only do this line of work for so long, and that's why traditionally police officers, they work for 20 years or 25 years, and they retire.
Yeah.
And they go do something else. And so, yeah, absolutely, there's a tremendous amount of stress, tremendous amount of expectations. There's a tremendous amount of danger, and it's really a credit to these young men and women, particularly now, that they're out there doing what they need to do and protecting and serving our communities, and doing it with grace and professionalism and courage.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is joining us today on Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Albany, Chief.
Thank you.
As a longtime Albany resident, on and off, I've traveled, retired military. I work for the government, but I find myself back in Albany, and I've seen many changes over the years, as we all have. I think with the current state of our society and the rapid change in technology, I think it affects social skills and communication skills and things like that. That's kind of a side note. But anyway, what do you see as the most pressing issues that you want to address first with the Albany Police Department and the way they do their jobs and protect the citizens of the city?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And first, it's very important for the police officers to know that they have a person at the very top. They have a leader in the organization now who understands some of their frustrations, some of their challenges, and is willing to support them as they go about their jobs. You know, it's been a very stressful time for these officers because they haven't had a permanent chief in over a year and a half. And so, you know, especially in a paramilitary organization where the men and women are really looking for solid leadership, and they had, you know, and I give a lot of credit to Chief Sears before me and to his predecessors. You know, they did a fabulous job, you know, of making sure that this department continued on this trajectory of greatness. And Acting Chief Basil did a great job after Acting Chief Sears left. And so we had some tremendous leaders in this organization that kept during this transition period the department going. But people, the men and women in the department still wanted a permanent leader, and they wanted a leader that they knew cared about them, cared about, you know, their professionally and personally. And I've been sending that message out. And the other part is just letting the community know that we're continuing with this foundation of community engagement in this police department. You know, we're not going to overreach. We understand what the problems are. We have targeted enforcement strategies to deal with individuals who are preying on innocent people in our community, and we'll deal with that. But we also have a long-term strategy to address some of the social issues that we're seeing in our community so that we can avoid this vicious cycle of not only the incidents, but also the resources that are allocated to deal with these issues.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest today on Vox Pop. Let's take another call here before our next break. And Tanya in Sullivan County. Tanya.
Hi. I know that of late there have been many deaths caused by police officers shooting people in cars. Why, when police feel they must shoot someone, a citizen, why is it always they kill them? Why don't they injure them? I'll take your answer offline. Why do they kill so many citizens who don't, and they do not go to jail, and they are not convicted?
All right, Tanya, thanks a lot, and go ahead, Chief.
Well, you know, and I understand the frustrations from our communities when there are officer-involved shootings and when, unfortunately, it results in a death. But I will tell you this, and I've been around law enforcement officers for almost 30 years. You know, I've been, as a police chief, I've been overseeing these men and women for over 6 years. And I can tell you these men and women that are involved in these tense situations are among the most conscientious Americans that anyone would ever want to meet. You know, they're under stressful conditions, they're under challenging conditions, and we have rules and policies and laws and that we have to abide by when we're dealing with, you know, these sorts of things. But I can tell you, in the overwhelming majority of the time when these officers are involved in use of force situations. They're using the appropriate amount of force, and they're doing it in a conscientious way.
Where do you stand on body cams?
I think body cameras are a great tool. I don't think they're the total answer to some of the things that that we're seeing. But I think what it says is that an organization is transparent. An organization is willing to have some sort of public accountability. And I think I've always said, even before body cameras became prevalent in law enforcement, I always said that body cameras are behavior modifiers. Both the resident or the person that the officer is working with, they modify their behaviors when they know that they're being recorded, and also the officers. You know, I mean, if there's an officer who may have thought that maybe there's a wayward comment that could have been made or something, you know, those things are avoided as well. So in terms of modifying behaviors, I think they're great. I think they're great in terms of looking at incidents afterwards so that we can, determine best practices in dealing with things. I think they're a great tool. They're a great technological tool.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551. And Chief Eric Hawkins of the Albany Police Force is here today. And you know what? We'll take a couple of quick emails and then we'll get back to these loaded lines. This one's from Gina, who says, thanks for the show and welcome to the chief. When they know only 5% of the force caused the vast majority of the problems, how do you see getting the majority of phenomenal officers taking a stand against their peers who are dangerous to both the profession and the public? And that is from Gina.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's about having integrity and ensuring that we have integrity and ethical principles throughout our organization. And an officer who operates with integrity and with professional ethics will report another officer who's engaged in unprofessional or illegal conduct. And I've seen this throughout my career, where we've had good officers who will report, things that they see that are inappropriate. And so it's something that's absolutely, prevalent in law enforcement. I think that we can do a better job of publicizing that to the public, when some of these things happen, that, these were internal complaints. We resolved this because someone within the department brought this to our attention. And also making sure that the leaders in these law enforcement agencies, police chiefs and deputy chiefs and assistant chiefs, continue to espouse these principles of ethics and integrity.
This one came in from Bob in Round Lake. TV shows like NYPD Blue and The Closer are primarily entertainment, but I assume they have elements of truth. Can you recommend a TV show or a movie or a book or a website that fairly represents the challenges of a modern urban police department?
Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot of TV.
Well, what about the Andy Griffith show? I mean, right?
Well, I tell you, if they're looking for some examples of leadership, a great movie is the movie Gladiator. Look at that. Great, great leaders. And there's a lot of, in fact.
So do you fancy yourself a gladiator?
Not the gladiator itself, but only the leadership principles that they're showing within a movie like that. In fact, there's been several police seminars that I've gone throughout my career where they use that as an example of leadership. So really, that's, I haven't had a chance to look at a whole lot of TV.
You've seen TV growing up. I mean, Bob's second question was, how do ordinary citizens avoid being misled by entertaining shows? Now that you have 25 plus years in the business, you must see a lot of these shows and say, my God, that is not how it happens in real life.
Well, the big thing is that there's this perception that once a crime occurs, that within 30 minutes it's solved. The quick fix.
Yeah.
And so if I would have any advice for anyone with a question like that, it would be that in real life, it's more protracted. An investigation can last, 30 days sometimes or more.
Yeah.
And we don't resolve everything within 30 minutes.
Fair enough. Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to LeVon in Albany. You're on.
Hey, Chief. I just want to say welcome to Albany. I see a lot of the callers are presenting you with a lot of questions about the problems and how you're going to solve it. You haven't pretty much given any solutions, but I have some quick solutions. One is DARE program. I'm an Albany resident for 36 years. I remember we had DARE in Arbor Hill School. I still remember the officer name, Eric Spray. I believe he's a sergeant now. I thought that was a great program to put kids onto the facts about drugs, how it's misused, overused, and everything like that. It was a great program, had a graduation. My other problem is Albany High. You have a lot of cops outside with sometimes with horses, and they're just making sure the kids get home safe, which is cool. But how about having some cops on the street walking up and down the block on Washington Ave, interacting with the kids? You know, give them a car. That way, if they do get in danger, at least they can call a particular officer that they had a bond with in order for them to feel safe. Hey, if I call the cops, at least I know no one's gonna get shot. Cause hey, I got a trusted officer who gave me his card, and I'm going to call him. And another solution to that problem is, hey, open up the McDonald's on Central Ave for normal customers like myself who work hard every day, 7 to 2 p.m., who wants to go get a burger at 2:30, 3 o'clock to go in McDonald's and get a cup of coffee or get a burger, because that McDonald's is closed from 2:45 to 4 p.m. every day. If you send maybe one or two officers over at that McDonald's every day, I think that would be great for the public to say, hey, the police officer are actually doing something. They're not just trying to tear down a problem. They're opening up the McDonald's. I think it's nice that you guys have burgers and all that other great stuff at all the inner cities with giving out burgers and hot dogs. But I went to two of them, and there was really – I got a burger, my son got a burger, and we left. There was no engagement really there. I mean, a lot of the adults, older adults, appreciated you for being there because you're a minority, but it wasn't like, hey, you know what I mean, I got somebody on my side, because hey, when we call 911, you're not showing up at our door. We getting police officers your employees are showing up at our door. So
all right, LeVon, let's let the chief respond here a little bit.
You know, and I thank you for those suggestions. I mean, you've been around here for a long time, and I value suggestions like that from long-term Albany residents. And so we're making note of some of those things that you mentioned. But one of the things that I really like, I like your theme. And your theme is basically that there's some things that the police department can do to better engage with our youth in our community in order to resolve some of the issues that we're seeing. And I've already developed a relationship with the school superintendent, Ms. Adams, and in the city I came from, we had a similar system where the school system was independent from the city, and I had a fabulous relationship with that superintendent, all of the superintendents in my former city, and I saw a lot of value, and I got a lot of return, the community did, from that relationship. And so going forward, the superintendent and I have made sure that we're going to stay connected, and that we are going to work together to look at some of these issues that we're seeing, working with residents like you who've been around for a while, who may have some suggestions that we haven't thought about in order to address some of these things. But you're absolutely right, and I'm absolutely on board with you with your theme that the police department can do more in terms of engaging with our youth in our community and resolving some of the issues.
LeVon, great call. Thank you. 800-348-2551, the number. Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, and we go to Richard in Hyde Park. Hi, Richard, you're on.
Hello, Eric and Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you're welcome.
Hey, I'd like to give a shout-out to Sam and the last caller, LeVon. I can't remember his name.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
You got it.
But given the level of violence across the nation, and sorry, I'm going outside of Albany, but is there any pathway that you see to having a police force that's a little more disarmed, maybe down to tasers and clubs as opposed to firearms?
Well, I think there's clearly, to me, you know, a place for different levels of force, and you know, there's going to be some, unfortunately, in our society, and we've seen it most recently, where there's been some just some horrible acts of violence that that you have police officers, law enforcement professionals who are equipped to address that sort of violence. So I think that, you know, the equipment that we have and some of the weapons that we have are absolutely appropriate. I think the critical piece of this, though, and the most important question involved in this is making sure that there's the appropriate use of those equipment, of that equipment and those weapons. And from what I'm seeing in the Albany Police Department and from what I've seen across the country, the overwhelming majority of law enforcement professionals use those weapons and use those equipment in the appropriate way. So, but thank you for that question.
Richard, thanks a lot. Our number here is 800-348-2551. In the remaining 6 or 7 minutes here with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, we go to Chris in New Paltz. Chris.
Hi. Thanks, Ray, and thanks, Eric, for the call.
You're welcome.
I want to start out by saying to the chief, I 100% agree that the overwhelming majority of officers are professional, act with integrity, act with decorum. But I want to know what your feeling is. Clearly, enough has happened across the nation to make a significant erosion of confidence in the public. I'm curious to know, do you agree that the problem is legitimate, is real? Do you acknowledge that it's real? And what are you specifically doing? You earlier spoke conceptually of, you know, officers with integrity will report officers who are acting in an unprofessional way. But do you have any specific either programs in place now or plans to help identify when there's an officer who is not behaving professionally, worse than that, abusing power, a potential killer, as opposed to a person who's just upholding the law? Do you have any specific programs in place to help identify those people and get them off the street when you have identified them?
We got you. Go ahead.
All right, thank you for that question. And to answer your first question, yes, I believe that there have been some unfortunate incidents involving individuals in the law enforcement industry. And you can ask any police chief across the country when some of these things have happened. Police chiefs overwhelmingly have denounced those things when they've happened. You know, nobody wants our profession tarnished, and there have been some incidents across the country that have, in a way, tarnished the law enforcement profession, and we recognize that. But I still stand by my first comments that the overwhelming majority of the law enforcement professionals are doing just that. They're doing things in a very professional and very conscientious manner. And in terms of what are we doing in order to identify these, we have systems in place now. I had this in the department that I came from in Michigan, where it was an early warning system for officers in terms of incidents that have happened. Because what we've seen consistently across the country with officer misconduct is that when there has been an incident of officer misconduct, it's not the first time that this officer has been involved in issues. And in fact, in many cases, the previous incidents have been minor incidents. They just haven't been tracked, and they just haven't been placed in an appropriate context. And so now what we're seeing with contemporary police departments across the country is that we're implementing these early warning systems, whereas when citizens' complaints, for example, or it can be other sorts of minor misconducts that officers are involved in, they're flagging the executives and other members of the organization so that we can see if this is a potential problem officer. And I've seen this work. I had an officer in the place I came from where there was just a series of minor incidents that when you look at them in isolation, they wouldn't appear to be a problem at all. And you would probably dismiss them. But we had the system in place that allowed us to track these and put these in context. And when we looked at this, we saw that, you know, this is an officer who potentially has a problem.
But what do you do in that case? In other words, these are minor infractions. Clearly, there would be some union back push if you said, well, we have to discipline you for this very minor item. And then, so how do you nip that in the bud then?
And it depends on what the nature of these incidents are. In some cases, the nature of these incidents could result in some sort of disciplinary action. But what we're seeing, what I saw in my experience with was that the vast majority of them did not. And so it, in the case with the example I was using and with other examples, we suggested and strongly suggested that the person got some sort of help outside of the police department. And what it resulted in was this person reflecting on himself and saying that, you know, hey, there is something that's going on. And it turns out that in that particular example, this officer was having some personal issues, you know, at home that were manifesting themselves, you know, with his work performance. And we were able to nip that in the bud. And we're seeing countless examples of those sorts of things across the country, that because those sorts of small things that officers may be internalizing that we're not catching could result in an officer doing some things that are inappropriate, or could result in an elevated use of force situation. And so that's contemporary police departments now are looking at those sorts of things in order to catch, you know, some of these behaviors before they escalate into something more serious.
So a more holistic approach.
Exactly.
Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, and we have time for a call or two more here. Let's go to James in Hudson. James.
Hi. Quick question. I do have family who have been in law enforcement. I think they're actually all retired now in Massachusetts. But I would say, what advice would you give to people that want to go into public service and specifically law enforcement? And I think that's the question.
All right. Thanks, James.
All right. Thank you for that question. And I would say that, you know, make sure that you're doing this sort of work because you truly, truly have this this desire to help people. And it sounds like a cliche, but really that is really at the root of what these officers are doing out there every single day. They're not being paid the highest wages. You know, none of these officers will, you know with, at least with their wages with the police department, they won't get wealthy. But they know that they can do some things to really, really make an impact in the community. So my advice would be, number one, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Make sure that you have a total understanding of what this job entails.
But isn't that tough until you're in the job?
It is tough. It's tough because until you get out there and you see some of these challenges, it's hard to describe it. But have a general awareness of some of the, you know, some of the political things that you have to deal with, some of the public relations issues, some of the social issues that you have to deal with.
All right. Well, you know what? We're done. You made it through the whole show. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, well done. Hope you come back.
I will.
We
Thank
did
you
not
so
even
much.
Talk about marijuana legalization and a bunch of stuff that we have to get to on the next program.
Certainly.
Support comes from the Hyde Collection, an art museum at Historic House in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, Sunday, 12 to 5. HydeCollection.org. Copper C Distillery, New Paltz, New York, a farm-to-glass distillery featuring heritage method distilling in New York's Hudson Valley, providing tours, tastings, and more. CopperC.com. Merritt Bookstore, Millbrook, an independent bookstore, hosting book clubs, author events, workshops, and a children's section dedicated to both books and toys. MerrittBookstore.com. And Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving clients throughout New England and New York with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. CandHArchitects.com. Thanks again to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great questions today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, and to Jesse King for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Drs. Susan Sekuli and Chris Dallas will be here to tell you all about your pets. They're the vets. You got the pets. Give us a call tomorrow. Stand by now for news.